How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone. We're locked in for episode 194 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast there, leave a review once you're on that page, and you can find us on audioboom.com as well. And you can go on to normantranscript.com, check out my blog, Thunder Road, for all your off-season coverage now, and you can find, you know, everything Thunder related there, end of season stuff, and I'm going to do a player, you know, individual player, you know, evaluation series going over every single player, what they did this year, what they plan on doing in the offseason, how they can get better, what's in their future, what's their contract like, you know, all that kind of stuff, and then I'm going to do an individual one, different player every day, starting in, I don't know what our start date is yet, but I'm going to be doing that relatively soon, within the next week or two, we're going to be starting on that. So it's still going to be lots of Thunder content. Don't think just because the season's over, there's no more content. And I'm still here to randomly talk to myself Monday through Fridays, at least for now. But today, I'm not just talking to myself. I got a guest. We got Andrew Schlecht of Down to Dunk. Third time guest now? Fourth time guest? Something like that?
Four, maybe? Yeah.
You're climbing up good. The ladder.
That's right.
You're making it.
I'm making it. I'm just proud to just have more than Jerry Ramsey. That's all.
Well, it's okay. You'll always have more than Jerry Ramsey.
That's right.
You're never catching up. That's like someone, you know, that's like, a rookie who hits his first major league home run being like, I'm just proud to have more home runs than Fred Katz. Like, of course, I'm never going to be in the major leagues.
That's right. Well, it's a little different, but also the same.
Why? Because, like, Jerry, like, does, like, the equivalent of Little League. Is that why? That's all?
Oh, wow. Yeah. that's what I was thinking.
I need to tell Jerry to listen to the beginning of this podcast now. Just to make sure that he hears the first 3 minutes.
That's right.
So how you feeling? How you feeling after this loss, after exit interviews? Tell me what you're thinking.
I'm typically an optimist, so I tend to look back at the season and think, wow, like that was actually a spectacular season. Whenever, if you start from July 4th, where we really didn't know what was going to happen this season, we didn't even know if Russell Westbrook was going to be on the Thunder. There was a lot of speculation up until he signed that extension. But the team did really well, I thought. I think they met some preseason expectations as far as wins go. And then just the fact that Russ did what he did and is the likely MVP winner. I just think it was a successful season. And they lost in the first round to the Rockets. And the Rockets happened to be the 3 seed while the Thunder are the 6th seed. And so they shouldn't be embarrassed. It was a close 5-game series. There wasn't a blowout there. So I think it was a successful season, and I think they have a lot to build on. So I'm an optimist, like I said. So I think that there's a lot of good things to take.
I think fans should be really happy with this season. I really do. And you know what? I don't even say that as I do think it was a progressive season for them. Like it was, you know, it was year one. People say it's year zero after Durant. It's like, I know they couldn't quite make moves after because they had to wait on Westbrook for the extension and all that stuff. But, like, that counts. That was a rule.
It does.
That didn't just randomly apply to them. Like, guess who else signed an extension this summer? James Harden also signed an extension this summer. Right. And, like, the Rockets had to stay under for him. And, you know, they are, you know, possibly going to – they have the third most wins in the NBA. Like, they're really, really good. So – I don't like saying it's 0-0 after Kevin Durant. It makes it seem like Kevin Durant left them on, you know, September 22nd. But it's year one. And as a year one after Kevin Durant, 47 wins with the season that Russ had, I think it's a really, really solid accomplishment for the organization. And you know what? For the casual fan just wants to be entertained, right? That's why they're a casual fan. Casual fan doesn't care about my random articles on Russ's usage rate or you know, the random observations that, you know, Russ takes 4.96 dribbles a game. Or casual fan doesn't care about uncontested rebounds, right?
Right. So I don't care about those either.
If the casual fan just wants to be entertained, like, if Russ would let someone do it, like, if Russ were a different personality, and part of the reason that he was so captivating this year was obviously because of the personality that he is. But if Russ were a different personality, like, someone would write a book about this year. You know, like, this is one of the more remarkable, I'm not going to say more remarkable because that's too much editorializing on what you think of his basketball, because I know there are some people who don't think he's the MVP or whatever it is, but this is one of the most captivating, one of the most interesting, whether you love his style or hate his style, like, this is one of the most captivating individual seasons we'll ever see in the NBA. And to be able to witness that is a pretty cool thing. To be able to witness that when it happens on the team you root for, like, all my friends from New York would watch the Thunder every time they were on national, you know, all my basketball fan friends, I should say, watch the Thunder every time they were on national TV because they just wanted to see what Russ did. And Russ would flame out and take 43 shots and they'd be like, haha, that was incredible. That was the most fun thing ever to watch. He was unbelievable the first three quarters. And then he just went crazy, and that was even better. And or they'd watch him, and he'd have, you know, the Orlando game or the Dallas game or whatever it was, and he'd put up these absolutely remarkable performances, and they'd walk away saying, this guy is the greatest player in the league. Like, hey, this guy might be better than LeBron. And, like, it's for the casual fan. Like, the casual fan should not be upset because they got to experience that, and they will not get to experience that again. They won't.
Right. And the heroics are one thing, because I mean, it takes some players an entire career to have as many moments that Russ had just in this one season. And he averaged a triple double, and that's going to be something that people are going to remember forever. And that's something that OKC fans should be really proud of. I mean, it's a massive accomplishment. It's been done twice now. And, you know, I just really feel like he kind of embodied the attitude and the feelings of the fan base, where it was just like, you know what, we're kind of pissed off. We kind of feel like we're kind of beaten down a little bit. And what we want to do is, and what we'd like to see, is somebody to just go out there and just be a force of nature. And that's what Russ was this season. And I think it was kind of I think that the Thunder fan base had to kind of heal this year from KD leaving unexpectedly, and then having a championship, at least the chance at a championship, ripped from your hands. And this season, I think, is a huge part of that for the fan base itself. It was really important that he was able to do stuff like that. Because if he had kind of a normal season, he averaged 24 points and 9 rebounds and 8 assists, and then the Thunder losing the first round, like, it's just kind of a meh, and he's not, like, he's maybe like 6th in MVP voting or something like that. I mean, that's you're kind of left just feeling like, oh man, like, the Thunder, I mean, it's over. We kind of feel like it was over, but with Russ doing what he did, it makes you feel kind of like, huh, well, what kind of player can he be, and what can he do if he does have players? What if he had the Rockets roster? Or what if the Thunder reshape and they go get Gallinari, or they go get Nick Batum, or they go get somebody? Like, what can Russ do? I think that's kind of what you're left wondering, rather than like a feeling of it's over and Russ probably wants out.
So you're saying he's like the human embodiment of basketball Xanax?
Yes.
Curing all the depression. Xanax Westbrook.
He is Xanax Westbrook. The Thunder fan base needed that. It was such a rough summer. Just from the post that KD had on the Players Tribune, that he left, and he left without really talking it out with Russ, and to join the team that he did. And I mean, it was a shock. And the Thunder have never really experienced anything like this. Of course, they've experienced the James Harden trade and just every article and every topic, I mean, that's been talked about, and it's still being talked about. And, like, that was a bummer, but the fact was that the Thunder still were a title contender, and they were really close last year. But they never, we never experienced anything to this magnitude. And a lot of franchises have, a lot of fan bases have, but the Thunder hadn't. And so I just think that small markets can fall off a cliff quickly. And unless you get like a top pick and you nail that top pick, it's hard to become a really good team. I mean, look at like Charlotte. Man, like they have a decent roster and they've tried really hard, but they're just spinning their wheels. Even you look at the Kings, obviously they have poor management, but they've been spinning their wheels forever. Even Minnesota, and they've nailed their picks. They've been spinning their wheels for forever. Like, I don't know what their playoff drought is, but it's insane. And you just do not want to be a small market team that is stuck spinning your wheels for however long.
You just said spinning your wheels more times in one monologue than I've ever heard. I'm into it. I'm going to progressively work the expression spinning my wheels into the rest of this podcast now.
That's just all I imagine. I don't know. That's what these teams have been doing, especially Minnesota. I mean,
Minnesota hasn't made the playoffs since 2004.
Right.
It's crazy.
Right.
They haven't made the playoffs since like 3 years. They had 3 years of Garnett. And think about how long ago they traded Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett won a championship, was a longtime Celtic, played for the Nets, had a few years, had a triumphant return to Minnesota, is now on TNT. He spent 3 more years in Minnesota before being traded to Boston, and they still haven't made the playoffs since then.
Mm-hmm. And David Kahn is to blame for a lot of that because he did a really bad job. But they've had good management for a while.
They've had some bad luck too. They've had some really bad luck. Like that last Kevin Love season, I think they went 40-42 or something like that. And like they had terrible luck that year. Nikola Pekovic was going to have a really good career, and then injuries just wrecked him. And they had some other guys, you know, on that team who injuries killed them. Like, you know, that 40-42 team, like everyone was getting hurt. Rubio got hurt that year. I think Kirilenko, who was still a good player, I think he was on that team and got hurt. Like they had some legitimately good players. And if they stayed healthy, that was a 45-51 team. I remember that team's net rating was definitely in the positives, and it was like way better. Like their Pythagorean was like way better than 40 wins. And and that was a year they could have gotten into playoffs with like 45 or 46 or something. And like that was a team that could have made it. And it's just like bad luck. And I think the year before they also had some bad injury luck. I'm leaving out also, I said the team with Kevin Love, like Kevin Love was hurt that year too. So like they've had some unfortunate luck. Like you're not going to not make the playoffs for 13 straight years just because of bad management. Like the Knicks have made the playoffs in the last 13 years.
Yeah. And the Thunder could easily be that team. Like people are like, well, let's just reset. Let's just trade Russell Westbrook. Let's get some picks, or let's go get those young guys on the Lakers. It's like, man, like if you have a superstar, you have to do everything you can to keep them. And this is the reason why. I mean, let's just imagine a world in which the Thunder traded Russ last summer and they get the Boston pick, so they get whatever. I mean, you're just not guaranteed to get anything back. I know that the Thunder built, and that's how they built their roster. They gutted the roster when Sam Presti took over, but then they immediately drafted Kevin Durant. I mean, most teams don't get that chance. I mean, the Charlotte Bobcats, they started from scratch and they wanted to build the same way, but they got to start their team with Emeka Okafor. You know, you just never know who
right.
it's going to
be. Right,
and
like even the lockout year, they tanked so hard. They had the worst winning percentage ever at the time in the history of the NBA. They went 7-59, I think it was. They tanked so hard, and they ended up with Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. They won it.
Right.
They tanked so hard. They had by far the worst record in the NBA. You know, it was because they wanted Anthony Davis. They tanked so hard for Anthony Davis. And they ended up with the number 2 pick after the lottery. And they got MKG. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes you can do it all and just it's luck. You know, the Thunder got lucky. Or I should say the Sonics got lucky with Durant. Like, if Portland takes
Very
him
lucky.
And the Thunder, like, don't pretend like Thunder would have been like, we were going to foresee all these Greg Oden injuries. They would have taken Greg Oden if Kevin Durant went number one. And then how different is this franchise?
They're incredibly different. And the Russell Westbrook pick, I mean, that took a large amount of work and a large amount of trust to make that pick. But they could have easily taken like Jared Bayless or somebody like that. And then where's your franchise? I mean, there's just a lot of luck it takes and a lot of preparation, and still it doesn't work. I mean, the Thunder have made some draft picks in the past where you know that they have prepared. You know that the summer that they got Mitch McGarry and Josh Huestis, they were incredibly prepared for that draft. And that was maybe the worst draft in Presti's tenure. I mean, it was just not any good.
No question that it was.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only other one that you could question is when they made the trade to get Cole Aldrich and they traded away the first round pick that became Eric Bledsoe and all that. I think that's probably number two.
I mean, Mitch McGarry and Josh Huestis combined to play one game for the Thunder this year.
Yeah. This is a weird direction to go. We didn't really pick a direction. What do you think that McGarry pick was about? Like, what do you think? I mean, Sam Presti really never picks guys that like have trouble with the law, and if there has been a guy that has trouble with the law on the Thunder, like they're usually not on the team anymore. Do you think that Mitch McGarry just had him fooled, or what do you think that was?
So Mitch McGarry is a really nice guy.
Yeah.
When you talk to Mitch McGarry, you don't think like this guy is a problem, you know? Because it's not like he's a jerk or he's bad in the locker room or he's defiant or there's anything like that, you know?
Yeah.
He smokes a lot of weed. So, yeah. Shockingly, breaking news. I don't know if anyone's ever officially reported that, but yeah, smokes a lot of weed. So I don't know if Presti's logic. I mean, I understand how you could. I honestly do understand how you could convince yourself into McGarry. Like, all you have to do is say, "Okay, what did I do when I was 20?" And if the answer is smoked a lot of weed, and I'm not saying that Sam Presti did, because I do not think.
I'm pretty sure that's what you're saying.
Yeah, Sam Presti is like the last person I would think. Sam Presti doesn't even eat carbs. What would he do with the munchies, you know? Like,
Kale chips.
Yeah, exactly. You have kale chips? Oh, my God. That would be horrible. but, like, I don't think that was the case. But, like, it's so easy to look at someone and be like, okay, he's a 20-year-old who smokes a lot of weed. How many 20-year-olds out there smoke a lot of weed and then when they, you know, grow up, don't? Like, a lot of them. A disproportionately large amount of them. And I think it's easy to convince. I think it's easier to convince yourself with that than it is with another drug.
Yeah.
I really do. Especially depending on, like, you know, everyone, you know, really, really the nation's opinions on marijuana these days. Like, the vast majority of people think it should be legal. And
sure.
So, like, I think it's a lot easier to convince yourself of that than it is with any other drug out there. And I get it. But the problem with Mitch McGarry, honestly, was his – the greater problem with Mitch McGarry, greater than the suspensions and that kind of stuff, was his work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
He would show up out of shape. He showed up out of shape to camp at least 2 years in a row. I don't know about his rookie year, but I know at least 2 years in a row he was notably out of shape showing up to camp, and his work ethic just wasn't there. Like, it wasn't – I don't know if he didn't want to be an NBA player, if he didn't love it enough to be able to have to do the work on the side. It's like people don't realize how hard these guys work. They work – you have to work so crazy, crazy hard. People think they just show up and play basketball, and they have awesome jobs. Like, I would like to be in the NBA. I don't think the NBA would like me to be in it. But I would like to be in the NBA. I think that'd be really fun to play basketball for a living. But, like, these guys work – it's not just natural ability. They work really hard. And if you just have an average person's work ethic, like, what hard work is totally redefined if you're an NBA player. Like, people don't realize how hard a lot of these guys work. And, yeah, with McGarry, I don't think he wasn't doing that. He just wasn't. At least the results showed he wasn't doing that.
Do you remember the video? This can be our last Mitch McGarry topic because I don't know how many people want to hear us talk about Mitch McGarry from a player. but do you remember the video that they had about his suspension in college? And they were like, the last question was, what did you learn from this whole experience? And he just smiled and he said, don't get caught.
Oh my God, I don't remember that.
You've got to go watch it because it's just like you can. It just defined his NBA career, right?
yeah, it did. It did. He got caught.
He got caught.
He got caught.
Tell me this: do you think that Enes Kanter fits this team going forward? And if you were to guess, what are they going to do going forward with him? I think everybody really wants to talk about. Everyone wants to know about this.
Yeah, I bet you Enes Kanter wants to know about this too.
Sure.
I don't think that whatever they could get for him on the trade market is worth it for them. Now, what's tough for them is like we thought they had a lot of bigs coming into this year, right? I mean, they probably thought they were getting wing depth when they traded Jeremy Grant for Ersan Ilyasova. But now, from the way that they play him, he's a big.
Yeah, he is.
He plays the three never now.
Mm-hmm.
And moving forward, they don't want him playing the three. So now you're bigs, your fours, fives. He's going to play more five than he is three. And now now your fours, fives are Jeremy Grant, Sabonis, Kanter, and Adams. And if you want Jeremy Grant getting minutes, and they obviously want Sabonis getting minutes, obviously Adams is going to get minutes.
And possibly Taj Gibson too.
Right. And who knows what's going to happen with Taj Gibson. That's part of why I think Taj Gibson is more likely than not a rental. Unless, of course, they can make a couple moves and they could see what happens. But if they're put in a position, like they played Jeremy Grant at the three this year a decent amount, and it was out of necessity. It was because they didn't have anybody else. I mean, Robertson also played the three out of necessity. They prefer Billy Donovan prefers Robertson at the two. And Sam Presti prefers Robertson at the two. They think he's a better defender guarding slightly smaller guys than he is on bigger guys. They think he's great on bigger guys, but they think he's better against smaller ones because they like his length.
Do you agree with that? I know that's what they think, but do you agree?
I actually do. I think he's best on two guards. Yeah. I mean, look, all we talk about is how good he is on Harden.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's great on Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
I think he's great on J.J. Redick. I actually do. I don't think they think that him on threes is a problem. I think you think he's great on threes, but it's just levels of greatness is all.
Yeah, and it also largely goes to who do you have next to him and who can you start next to him. If the Thunder had a better three available, they would put him at the two, but they have a better two available, so they put him at the three. I think it might be a little bit meaningless.
It's pretty interchangeable. Yeah. It just kind of depends on, if your two can guard threes or your three can guard twos.
Mm-hmm.
With him, I'm not going to put if the opposing team's two is worse than the opposing team's three, I'm not going to do that. You just put him on the opposing team's best wing player, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But it just kind of depends on the defensive versatility of the rest of your team. The beauty of Robertson is he's so defensively versatile that you're probably fine. You're fine either way. Like he's going to be an all defense guy for a really long time.
He will.
Like, he'll make first team eventually.
Yeah. He should.
Year. He won't this year. If you were a guard, he would, but he won't this year. But he'll make it eventually.
Do you think if the Thunder got a three, let's say they somehow got Gallinari or Nick Batum or somebody like that, I know they like him playing the two, but do you think that they would try to acquire a guy like that just to slide him to two? Almost with the purpose of, one, him guarding two guards, and two, with the purpose of giving him a chance to make the all-defensive team.
Yeah, I think in an ideal world they'd like to. I mean, look, I think the number one reason they want to slide him to the two is because they need a three who can play some offense. I think that's why. That's the number one reason why. Like, it's not because of – I don't think you should be adjusting your team based on what's best for Andre Robertson. Like, he's a good player, don't get me wrong, and he's a tremendous defensive player. And as we saw in the playoff series, like, he's a good cutter, and although he totally changed after those free throws.
I mean, he did. He's such a mental player.
He's such a mental player. And you see that, right? Like, when he's locked in, he's cutting and he's screening, and when he isn't locked in, he's just kind of standing around. And he's such a streaky mental player, and those free throws, they hurt him, because you saw him, he wasn't moving. How active was he in the first four games of that series, just he was a he did a tremendous job figuring out how to not be a liability offensively. It's not like he was a great offensive player, but he did a great job figuring out how to just not be a liability, how to make them pay for not guarding him and finding holes in the offense, because he's really high IQ basketball player. He's a smart guy. And like he did a great job using that. And then game five, he was just stagnant, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was.
I think it was because of the free throws.
I agree. And also, not only the free throws, but the reaction coming from the bench that's right next to him. Mm-hmm. I think like those things matter to people, and those things impact people. It's like the NBA version of bullying almost.
Yeah, totally. We never talked about Kanter. We somehow got onto like Mitch McGarry.
That's right. I only want to talk about Mitch McGarry. Mitch McGarry pod.
Let's talk about Kanter, and then I have an email that I want to read to you.
Okay.
Do you agree with me? I just think there's two, I put the odds at like 60-40 or something like that. That Canada
60
is back.
Stays.
Yeah. Just because like they're going to be making calls. They're going to be seeing what they can get. Mm-hmm. But how many teams there are a lot of guys out there like Enes Kanter. There are a lot of them. Like how long has Orlando been trying to trade Vucevic?
A long time.
Yeah, and there are a lot of guys out there like that.
There are, and I wouldn't be surprised if a guy like Valanciunas is available this summer.
Yeah, so who's a better player and a better defensive player?
You would rather have Valanciunas. You just would. You're right, it's difficult. But it's just hard. It's just really hard to predict. I would think that the Thunder would want to move him.
You know the way they trade him? The way it happens, the only way it happens is if there is, oh man, I just got a notification, an Instagram notification. We might have to delay this podcast.
Okay, what's up?
I just got an Instagram notification. Waiters 3 started a live video. Watch it before it ends.
Oh my goodness.
Dion Waiters is live streaming on Instagram. What could it be?
Dion. Oh, I miss Dion so much.
His Players Tribune piece. You know, I never talked about that in the pod. His Players Tribune piece was incredible. Oh,
it was so good. It had, like, enough of, like, his personal life, plus him just being honest and hilarious, and then him opening up about OKC and about Durant. I mean, it was incredible. If you haven't read it, please turn this podcast off. Make sure that you did credit Fred for the download. Hold on. I'm telling them to credit you for the download. Get the download.
There we go. But then
go and read it because it's worth your time. Like it just is.
It is probably the best Players Tribune piece I've ever read.
No question.
Don't tell Kobe I said that because he'll kill me. It's probably the best one. It's hilarious. I literally laughed out loud on multiple occasions because I was like, Dion would totally say that.
Yeah.
And I mean, even the name of the article is like, the NBA should be happy I'm home writing damn articles, which is perfect.
It is perfect.
It's such a great title. I was honestly most impressed. He gets like incredibly personal. And,
yes.
And tells us stuff about his life, which like a lot of people would say, I don't want the public knowing about that. And he gets extremely personal, and he comes off, if you like Dion Waiters, and I know Thunder fans like Dion Waiters, if you go into it liking Dion Waiters, you'll come away from it liking Dion Waiters more than you did going into it.
Oh yeah, no question. And so there was one thing, I'm going to see if I can find it, where he talks about Isaiah Thomas being on his squad in high school. And I want to find it because I want to read it. Because he says, Isaiah Thomas was actually there with me. He was a fifth-year senior, and he was the same size as he is now, for real. Look, I'm a confident guy, but even back then I was watching Isaiah like, yo, this dude is a killer. He led the team in scoring, and I was number two. Ain't that crazy? I just thought that last line is so funny. Just like, can you believe this guy scored more than me? Can you believe that? I just love that. It's so Dion. It was so good.
That is extremely funny. He's a funny guy. He's a really funny guy. He's a very interesting personality. I will give you that. Oh my gosh, we didn't talk about Kanter again.
We're so good at avoiding it. I think it's because neither of us have a real answer.
Yeah, it's a little bit true. It's hard to say because I think the way that he goes is if there is a team that just kind of likes him more than his market value. You know, yeah. Like there's a team that says like, you know what? We love Enes Kanter. We figured it out. We know exactly how to use him. We know exactly how we're going to be able to play him 32 minutes a night or whatever it is. We know how we're going to feature him in the offense while making sure that he's not, you know, he's not going to kill us defensively. Let's do it. Let's give up the 12th pick. You know, I think that's the only way it happens. Otherwise, mm-hmm. I don't think the Thunder, because he's important for the Thunder. Like he's going to be top 5-6 man of the year, I think, again.
Yeah. So they've got to get something back that can help, because if they don't, it'll be taking a step back.
Mm-hmm. You want to read this email?
Yes.
Okay. I'm excited for this. Should we give some context when we got it?
Sure. Sure.
So, or when you got it, I should say.
Yeah. I got this email from somebody. They said that they had something really important to tell me.
And tell Andrew. Andrew is the host of the Down to Dunk podcast. If you don't listen to it, it's a great, great Thunder podcast here in Oklahoma City.
Yes, you should listen. Search Down to Dunk on iTunes. So I got a tweet from somebody saying they needed to tell me something. Could they DM me? And I said, why don't you just email us? And I sent my email address. And then I got this email saying that this was a really important thing. Do you want to read it?
Am I reading it or are you reading it?
I don't have it pulled up.
Oh, okay. You don't have it pulled up? You can't get it on your phone?
Let me see. My service is awful. I'm way out in the woods of Piedmont.
Wow. I don't have it pulled up right now either, so we both need
Hold on. You'll have to edit this. I'll find it.
You know what? Sometimes the scrambling to look up stuff is great. There was a podcast earlier this year where Royce and I just sat there kind of Googling stuff for 10 minutes during it, and that was like the fourth most listened to podcast I've had this year.
Was it really?
Yeah. It was fine. We immediately took to Twitter about how it was the worst podcast ever recorded, and I guess it sparked some fire. People just started listening to it. People want to hear people just sitting around Googling stuff.
Okay. Here it is.
Okay, great.
It says, full disclosure, I'm pissed. Tonight's loss was bad all around. Coaching killed us. You can't play 12 guys in the postseason. Your bench can't go minus 61 because of it. And you can't let your heart and soul beg to go in as the team implodes at the end of the third quarter, only to be denied. I've been a season ticket holder for 7 years and a listener for 3. I love what you guys do, what you represent, and what you strive to become. But there is someone in our local media that I will not follow any longer. Fred Katz.
The intro is so good.
It is good.
He makes it seem like he's going to talk about the team, and then boom, heel turn.
Then boom. I know. I was ready to just be like, man, it's going to be okay. You know, the Thunder are really trying their best.
But there's so much more.
He's turning into a disgrace. I know he frequents your podcast from time to time, but this guy is a cancer. Honestly, he seems like the type that would bail at the next highest paying paper job.
Can I comment on that?
Of course.
Duh. Did my editor write this?
Maybe that's what it is.
$20 says if this guy got offered a job so he didn't have to work the graveyard shift at 7-Eleven anymore, he would take that. Like if he got to work the day shift, I bet you he would do that. I know he's upset. That I assume that's where he watches the games, or maybe he has to watch before he goes into work because that's a little too early.
Let's see. He spent the last portion of the game tweeting about Russ's shots, continuing to point out his misses, not factoring in any of the other influences, like should he have had a foul call, or coach hasn't put any other offense on the floor with Russ, or coach pulled McDermott for 6 minutes.
That's all. Six minutes left.
Pull Duke in. My point is that you guys need to notice.
Is he blaming me for Billy Donovan pulling Doug McDermott with 6 minutes left in this particular game?
You were the one that told him to. So, what other reason does he have?
Does he
Fred?
Think I'm on the Houston bench?
I think so. My point is that you guys need to notice this as well and cut ties. If you need any support in my poll, because I don't have many followers, I don't seek them, but I got into an argument with Fred over MVP stuff and went back and forth. You know who he sided with? You know who sided with me? You know who liked my side of the story? Timbaland. Yes, Timbaland.
I love, first of all, Timbaland is out of nowhere. Second of all, it's you got to read it with the grammar, because it's, you know who like, and you know who sided with me? Question mark. You know who liked my side of the story? Question mark. Timbaland! Exclamation point. Yes, comma. Timbaland! Exclamation point. I know this guy doesn't respect my writing, but that is phenomenal. That is a tremendous reveal. And I had no idea Timbaland was coming. My only critique is that on the second Timbaland, when he went, yes, Timbaland, would have put a second exclamation point.
Yeah.
That's my only one. I love that because I cover the Thunder and because Timbaland is a musician, he has more credibility about the Thunder than I do. Also, the hilarious part of this is that Russ was my MVP pick, so I don't know what he's talking about.
I don't know. And even though I really just think this is just
it could be a she too.
This is a gem of an email.
Oh, it's the greatest email ever.
It is so good. I don't know that I'll read the rest of it, but I really like the end part where he says, "Hear me when I say this. There's something off with Fred Katz."
You know, I actually really like where it continues with Timbaland too. Can I read the next couple of sentences?
Sure.
So, and you know who sided with me? Who liked my side of the story? Timbaland. Yes, Timbaland. Granted, he might have done it on accident.
Yeah, that was good.
And I'm getting very off point here.
Yeah.
Now that reminds me, my favorite quote about writing is from Hemingway, which is write drunk, edit sober. And I feel like when you write drunk, you write, I'm getting off point here. And then when you edit sober, you're like, you know, okay, well, if I wrote I'm getting off point here, probably delete that whole section. But I guess when you work a job that makes you drink through it just to make the days less depressing, you can't do that.
I really liked this. And I did respond to him, and I just was like, yeah, you know, Fred's my friend, and I think that he probably would like to have a better high-paying job, you know. he's largely not incorrect.
Yeah. I don't dispute that point. I dispute the tone. Who in the world wouldn't want a better, higher-paying job? Why is that an insult? I don't understand that. I love it. He might have done it on accent, and I'm getting very off point here, but the guy is turning into a troll, parentheses, Fred, not Timbaland.
You are a total troll, Fred.
I mean, I'm being a troll right now, but I'm trolling.
You are.
I'm trolling his... There's a tremendous irony in a guy writing, like a 500-word email, to complain, like just insulting someone, and the email is a reaction to complaining to someone supposedly being a troll.
Mm-hmm.
Like
it's fantastic. This is what 2017 was made for.
You didn't want to talk about the strike? You didn't want to get to that?
Oh, he was going to go on full strike for a calendar year of the DTD pod if Fred came back on again.
So you had to come on mine.
So I'm coming on yours.
You had to make sure to come on mine. There you go.
he also later retracted the statement.
He retracted after all this, after all this passion, he or she retracted the whole thing. And I love my team, but I'll go on strike a full calendar year if Fred comes on the podcast again. I love how he clarifies a calendar year. Oh, I thought you were talking about how long it takes Mercury to go around the sun. I didn't realize you were talking about one of Earth's calendar years.
That's right.
Didn't realize that. Are you talking about – but is he – maybe he's talking about the lunar calendar and he just forgot to put lunar?
It could be. Or it could mean an NBA season maybe. But
no,
he couldn't
mean the NBA season. He meant a calendar year.
I'm saying that's what he wanted to specify.
Oh, that's what he wanted to specify?
Oh, yeah.
But the NBA season was already over. This was in the postseason. So even if he said a full year, it would have the exact same meaning.
Oh, this is great. Yeah. I was really excited to share it with you.
It's – oh, my God. It's – I was so excited when you sent this to me.
No, I think the first thing you said, and I sent this to you a little while ago, you were like, can we record this on a podcast?
Yeah. Because it's so funny, man.
Can we do this? Oh.
It's so great. All right. I know you got to go, but that was – I'm so happy we just did that. Like I'm genuinely happy right now. That was my favorite – you know what? This is perfect because that was genuinely my favorite Lockdown Thunder moment of the year.
It was great.
I love it. This person, I hope, I guess there's no way this person listened to my podcast.
If this person doesn't seem likely.
If this person listens to my podcast, then I don't know what they're doing with their life, because it's just a terrible life decision.
It is. If you think Fred is this bad, just please stop. Don't do this to yourself.
Just unfollow me. Stop reading the articles. I'm not like emailing them to you every day and tying you down and making you read them and like, you know, telling you can't eat until you finish my articles.
Right. That's why I get a kick out of people that want to criticize my show or your show or anybody's, just because it's like, you chose to listen to it.
It's free.
We're not like, it's free. We're not on a network. It's free. You have to choose to listen to it.
Yeah.
Like you have to.
I never like deked you into buying a subscription. Right. You know what? If you get pissed at me because you buy a subscription to the Norman Transcript, and then you're like, you know what? As soon as I bought my subscription, all he was doing was working hard to get me to buy a subscription, and then the article content totally fell off. It was terrible. Typos everywhere. Fact errors everywhere you looked. If that's the issue, fine. I'm cool with that because I made you pay money. This is free. You're going out of your way to listen to this. You are literally going – you are going on your phone probably. You're going into the app store. You are clicking download on an episode or subscribe or whatever it is, and you are going out of your way to listen to that. Your fault.
2017, man.
You know what the problem was? You know what the problem was? Somebody – some like drunk guy spilled a slushy all over and he had to clean it up, and he was just in a bad mood.
And you were the last Twitter handle he read.
Yep. There you go. All right. Well, I think we're going to do it for today. You got anything to plug? What off-season stuff are you guys doing at Down to Dunk? What are you doing?
Oh, we'll still be doing regular shows. We'll start our draft coverage next week. I'm going to have somebody on to break down some draft prospects. So look for that probably on Monday. I'm not sure who. I've got a couple people I'm trying to get on. So it'll be that should be fun. So we'll break down guys that could be picked in the 20s and kind of what the Thunder needs are. So you can follow me on Twitter at Andrew K. Schlecht, and you can follow Down to Dunk Podcast on Twitter at Down to Dunk. You can subscribe there. We do Monday, Wednesday, Friday shows, and that's a lot of fun. So you should join us.
Great. And you can remember I'm on every weekday for now, Monday through Friday. I will not be on this upcoming Monday. Taking off Friday, Saturday, Sunday because it's the end of the season and, like, I need that.
You deserve it.
I do deserve it. I slept until noon today and I was pumped about it. I was so pumped about it that I was still tired as hell when I woke up, that I was actually too tired to be pumped. That's how actually pumped I wanted to be but couldn't be. But you can head out to iTunes and subscribe to Locked on Thunder in the exact way that we just summarized. Questions, comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com, or you can find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FREDKATZ. And Andrew K. Schlecht, by the way, Schlecht is SCHLECHT.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, because I know that's not always intuitive for
it's not, yeah.
And then you can log out to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. Check out my blog, Thunder Road, to follow team coverage. And, you know, all my off-season coverage there. I'm still going to have stuff up, like I said, at the top of the show all the time. It might not be literally every day, but I will have stuff for the most part every weekday. Again, like I said, there won't be anything going up Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sam Presti's got his end-of-season press conference Monday. I'll obviously have something from that. I'll have another thing up on Thursday. We're recording this Thursday afternoon. I'll have another thing going up Thursday afternoon. And then I'll start a player evaluation series. Going to be running off one a day at some point really soon after that. So that's going to do it for today. Off for the long weekend. Back on Tuesday. Andrew, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you, Fred.
Until Tuesday, Locked on Thunder is locking up.